I'm assuming. Are you guys, are you the type that waits to watch the Super Bowl commercials live and get surprised, or are you watching? Kyle, you have to watch them
in advance, right? Yeah. I saw almost every single one in advance, not all of them though. So
yeah, same. Not only am I that way with Super Bowl spots, I'm that way with like movies. I normally read about a movie before I see it. There is no magic in my life. I enjoy commercials, but there's nothing for me.
I kind of used to be that way, but when my first child was born, my wife talked me into, I wanted to know, and she's like, no, we're gonna be surprised at the moment, which I wasn't so excited about, but it ended up being awesome. And then we have our second kid, and that's what I assumed we were going to do again, is go for the magic. She's like, no, this time I want to know. So she couldn't decide which way she wanted to go with it. So, but with the Super Bowl, I prefer to be surprised. I waited. So.
And what surprised you the most?
Surprised me the most. I have to think about that. I know what my favorite was. I know what my least favorite was. I think the seal spot. I think that was a surprise. Like, that's the one I look around the room and everybody was like, what the? Yeah. Everybody thought it was hilarious, but, you know, it was one of those, it kind of stopped. It froze the moment.
Right.
So visually arresting. Like, what the heck is going on here?
I agree. I agree with that. And the 2B spot with the flesh yeah. hats was visually arresting as well. Weird, but not for the sake of being weird. They actually sold the product. So that was
there
decent.
You go.
Yeah.
So, hey, everyone, you're listening to This Modern Brand, a podcast where we pull back the curtain on some of America's most influential brands to break down their strategies, their values, and innovations. I'm your host, Jason Parks, and I'm delighted to introduce you to one of my fellow Barclay OKRP team members, Ben Fitzenreiter. Hey, Ben.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We've got a very special guest for all the ad agency nerds out in the world listening to this. I think this is going to be a very familiar name, but we've got Kyle O'Brien, who's the previous agency's reporter and agency spy editor at Adweek. Hey, Kyle. Hello. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it.
You bet. We're excited to have you. So obviously we've been talking a little bit about the Super Bowl here, and that's what we're going to continue to talk about. So I'm going to start with you, Kyle. I'd love to just get an overall temperature take on the ads in general. Like, how would you grade them on the whole?
On the whole, frankly, I did not think this was a terribly impressive cast. I'd give it about a C-. There was very little wow factor. And if you're spending $7 to $8 million, you need wow. There were a couple that wowed me, but I didn't walk away this time going, there was one definitive ad that I went, oh my God, that just beat out all the rest. There weren't those several in a row like there have been in past years. So I think it was an okay bunch of ads, some disappointing, some better than others, but I didn't think it was the strongest year.
Very, very similar to the Super Bowl itself. Then wasn't a whole lot to watch, especially for some of us Kansas City fans.
Yeah, I can imagine in Kansas City it didn't go over terribly well.
If you love good D-line play, it was pretty fun.
It was impressive
watching. Yeah, I didn't mind watching Patrick Mahomes get harassed that much the whole game.
So, what was your take, Ben, on the whole?
Yeah, well, so I think it's interesting. You know, like I don't disagree. Kyle, I think my take on it was probably like, I think there was nothing that I saw that I was like, man, that's timeless. Here we go. I'm going to talk about that for the rest of my life. The place where I probably would dissent slightly is I thought that there was like a larger body of like pretty decent spots that I was like pretty happy with. So like it's maybe I'm already being semantic way too early in the conversation, but for me, I'm like, there's always a bottom of the barrel that's like, you know, pretty consistent in its size. I think that there was like this, the upper middle was like better than I feel like it is. Like there are years where like, I'll be like, there were three spots that were incredible and then everything else was forgettable. I feel like there was like 10 spots I respected creatively. And then maybe nothing that I was like, well, I'm going to talk about that for the rest of my life. But like, you know, still like a lot that I was like, I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like there was some work in there that I was like, we're doing it right. Yeah.
What's the last time, like, see, I love how you mentioned, like, maybe not anything timeless. What is the last timeless spot that you can remember that featured in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, like, it's, you know, like, most of my strongest memories of Super Bowl spots come from before I entered the industry, when the industry was making me aware of it. I grew up with grandparents who worked in advertising, so I feel like I was always sort of into it. But, like, I think, you know, like, I'm from Minneapolis originally. I think, like, you know, like the Herding Cats spot for, you know, that's like my favorite Super Bowl spot of all time for just affectionate reasons. I just think it's perfect. I think it's great. But I think, you know, the early 2000s, I feel like was just like all of advertising felt like Super Bowl spots back then. Like, I mean, it was probably the budgets were never larger. The clients never happier to take swings, you know, felt like the crunch of expectation and analysis hadn't sort of compressed. But I also feel like now our ideas about how we make work in the context of testing have gotten to a place where we know how to build better spots. So the creative opportunity only feels like it's actually opening up these days. So, yeah.
It's an interesting take on it because, you know, I do remember there are some great ads in the 80s, 90s, and then of course those ads in the 2000s, Herding Cats is definitely one of my favorite, but you can even go back to Mean Joe Green throwing his jersey. That's an all-time great ad. I like to laugh. I didn't feel like I got the laughs this year that I have in years past. Last year, I really had a good laugh with Michael Cerevee. There was a true wow factor a couple of years ago with the 2B, you know, it seems like they stopped in the middle of it to go to a Roku thing. Now that's brilliant by Mischief. I don't think the 2B ad this year had that same wow factor, and that it didn't have the same buzz factor. It was still good. There's quality creative out there. There really is good quality creative in all of these spots. Most of them, not all of them, but I just think in the context of storytelling, I didn't think there was as good a storytelling, except maybe in the more serious spots. You know, Nike, Dove, NFL, I thought they all had a good narrative. And those were ended up being the winners. I always want my favorite ad to be funny, but it wasn't this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was your favorite?
My favorite?
Yeah, what was?
I'd say the NFL flag football. Yeah. I thought 72 and Sonny hit it out of the park. They made me care, which is, you know, odd for a jaded guy like me who's, you know, been in and out of this industry for the last, you know, 30 years. So I've seen a lot, and that made me care. I said, yeah, let's get flag football in every program in every state. I love it. It got me excited about it. And that's, again, that's a rarity for me. I thought Nike did a great job as well. I used to work for Nike, so I back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So I do have, you know, I have an affinity for that. They haven't been in the game for 27 years. I thought they did a very good job. It was a very Nike / Wyden spot. So
yeah.
You know, Kyle, you just mentioned humor, and so every year I think you start to see a thematic that runs through, whether it's humor or emotionally compelling type work, or, you know, there's always celebrities. But did you guys notice any particular themes that stood out or commonalities this year?
Weird pairings of celebrities.
Weird.
Fair. That's probably something that is there. Yeah, I didn't have an immediate answer, but Kyle, I think that makes sense. Like
Willem Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara. Yeah. I didn't get that one at all. Snoop and Tom Brady, but yeah, did it work? I thought it worked okay. But again, I thought most of the celebrity pairings were kind of just odd. Like, why would they put this person with this person? It doesn't really make sense. The only one that really made sense was the When Harry Met Sally Hellman's commercial, which of course you can't have that spot without those two.
Yeah, I think like I think that's well put. Like, I do feel like that was a thematic, and I do feel like it was a year where there probably wasn't a preeminent thematic. I think in general you felt marketers not quite being sure like what the moment in time of this Super Bowl was. So it does kind of pull the work all over the place. That hearing you talk about that, like what brings to mind for me and what I do feel like is true is that the reason that I probably feel like, you know, there was like the sort of that upper middle quadrant of the work got better was because I feel like you take like a spot like Totino's, which personally I love. Like I just love the Totino spot because I love the writing of it. I love the comedy of it. It fits with me as a person. But like that spot versus like the Coors Case of the Monday spot with the slots, which is, by the way, like somebody eventually was going to do something with that character from Zootopia. Mischief did a great job with it. But like the distance between the creative execution and the key communication felt shorter for me this year. And that's what I respect about the work is like for a long time, Super Bowl spots were great when they were like a long walk for a ham sandwich. So like even the reference that I had, which is like, I love the herding cat spot. That is a long walk for a ham sandwich. And I'm happy to go on that walk. But like, I love that, you know, like in the work this year, it felt like the distance between the thing they were trying to say and the creative expression like was shorter at times. And that was really cool in the top end. Now that's not true on everything, but yeah, I think you're right, Kyle. Like, I don't know that there was a prevailing theme beyond just like people clearly have come to the conclusion. And on some level, they're right that volume of celebrities drives conversation. And so if you value the second screen, that's sort of a, I won't call it cheap because it's really dang expensive. But it's a simple way to feel like you got yourself some insurance that your commercial's going to have response. I think there's ROI on it? You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I, as a creative, I hope that I can pull in all that stuff in a deeply relevant way. Not a sort of non sequitur.
Yeah. You've mentioned a couple spots already, the Nike spot, the NFL spot for flag football. But maybe beyond those two, are there any others that you believe will have the biggest cultural impact? That's going to go, you know, beyond the Super Bowl, beyond the next couple of weeks that are really going to stick?
I don't think any of these are one and done because I don't think the media buy will allow that. I think you have to keep these stories going. And obviously the stories start before because we had plenty of teaser ads. Like I loved Instacart's teaser ad about with all the mascots coming together. I thought the teaser ad was actually better than the in-game ad. The in-game ad was good. But I thought that the teaser ad was brilliant. And so I don't know, you know, I don't know what will live on. I Nerd Wallet with a beluga whale. I think that, you know, that could play for a while and be good. You know, they're definitely for and of this game. So if they continue, it's because, you know, they put a lot of money into it. Like Haagen-Dazs, you know, Haagen-Dazs did its first spot ever. It was good. I thought it was a quality ad with getting the Fast and Furious people back together. I thought they were very true to the franchise. I'm not a huge Fast and Furious fan, but I thought they were true to the franchise. I thought it did well. And that's something that I think, you know, elevates the brand past really pretty pictures of ice cream. So, you know, that might have some staying power. I think, you know, I think Nike is back in the ad game, and I think they really made a strong statement with women's empowerment. I think that's another theme was women's empowerment. I think, you know, Nike, Dove, NFL, Lay's, even with the little girl growing the potato. So, you know, there's another minor theme that was capitalized on that night. And so I think all of them have the ability to extend their buys, extend their range and reach.
To that point, go ahead, Ben.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I was just going to ask, you know, that idea of extending the media, it's almost required because of the investment, like you said earlier. Any standout digital or social executions that you've seen that have built upon the spot itself that stand out for either one of you?
Yeah, I think, listen, I think the Uber Eats campaign this year was like astounding. A thing that we talk a lot about because, you know, me and my team work on Burger King is like, and this goes back to like a thing that we developed. Well, I won't get into that part, but like, the thing I talk about a lot with my team is like, you know, sports are one of the last like public squares left in our very fractured media landscape. So like when you look at the demographics of different sports, like the NFL is actually like the most integrated fan base in America. And what's really cool about that is that, like, if you really can figure out how to take over that media space, which is like what we focused on with Burger King when we launched Whopper, is like you create a lot of conversation because everybody experiences those things together so they can talk about it in a way they understand. And what I love about the Uber Eats work was like, that is a really silly, dumb little joke. And they dragged that thing on the whole year. And at times I was like, how could you possibly go all in on this? And man, I just, you know, like Matthew McConaughey, he was cast in a couple of Super Bowl spots. He was used well in that one, you know, like he was a perfect cast for that. He was a perfect sort of tip of the spear of that idea. And then like drawing in more and more people and making more and more fun. I hope that campaign lasts. Like, I hope they pull that into other sports, because one of the things that I love, and it just comes from my own background of like me and my partner making characters and stuff and working on campaigns that had like a lot of legs, is like, man, when your campaign can become a universe, when consumers like your work enough that it becomes a universe, it's always really fun and really special. And I think that Uber Eats stuff, man, it's got everything that it needs to keep going. I hope it did well enough. I bet it did well enough that they feel like they should. They'll probably have a great idea if it ain't that, so it's all good. But that was a good one. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I admit that was a really fun ad, and it did extend, you know, especially the first one where look what's Jerry eating? Rice. Jerry's eating rice. I mean, that was a great kickoff to that campaign, which just grew exponentially especially with all the teasers. I thought it was a really well done ad. I love the
and then you get
playing at Peyton Manning. It's a really good one. I'd love to see it in basketball. I would love to see it extend to basketball. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I love that by the end of the season, like you're like, I love watching work like that and being like, man, they wrote that joke about Super Bowl LIX like week two, and they've waited all year to get here. You know, like somebody figured out the Caesar's Salad Bowl thing. And like, again, like probably before the first meeting, and they had to bide their time the whole season and hope that the campaign got there so they could tell that joke. And I was just glad to see it by the time they got it out the door.
Yeah. Good payoff. And it didn't age poorly. It aged well. So
yeah, totally.
Anything can catch you like completely off guard in either a good way or a bad way? Any big creative risk or major departure from brand tone or anything like that?
WeatherTech finally did an ad with a narrative other than, hey, we make this stuff in America. They actually had one, and it was kind of cliche-ish and a little bit silly, but at least it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, WeatherTech has not been fun. You know, you can almost count on every year WeatherTech doing something fairly dull. So it was nice to see them actually do something, and tell a story, even if it as silly as it was. But that kind of struck me as, hey, they finally did something. Whereas Skechers just stuck to their regular, hey, let's bore you by showing you a slip in of a football guy.
Yeah, I think it's like, you kind of, I think Kyle even got this at the time. It's like, you kind of meet the moment. Like, it's a big deal, you know, like how often, you know, we talk all the time, like advertising is largely like a non-consensual practice. Like consumers aren't being like, man, I really hope I see some ads today. And so on the occasion that like they are excited, I understand the investment. I understand that that's a real thing. I don't know that you have to. I mean, if you look at like the E-Trade, we wasted $2 million spot from way back where it's just like, you know, I think a chimpanzee on a driveway. Like you don't have to spend a lot on production to have a really great idea. But I do think you have to spend a lot emotionally, right? Like we talk all the time, like consumers change their behavior when brands do. And if you show up to the Super Bowl and you kind of just run a spot that you could have run any other time of year, doesn't feel like you cared about my eyeballs. It feels like you cared about my wallet. You know, so it just doesn't really convince me. And that's my biggest reaction is like, we're really lucky, you know. I know it's a lot of money, but we're really lucky that there's a thing like that that exists in the industry for people to want to spend 5 minutes talking about what we do. And we owe it to consumers to give them a good 5 minutes of conversation about our work.
What was your take on the use of AI? So I think obviously we saw that in its biggest form so far everything from Martha Stewart to some of the weird, the Seal Spot, etc. What was your the good, the bad, the ugly of AI this year?
I think I, you know, the Chat GPT spot was a little puzzling. I didn't think it really sold me on ChatGPT whatsoever. Google, they tried to, they had a nice narrative, but if you kind of look at it, having AI walk you through a job interview about being a dad, which is a really cool concept. I love the idea. I think it's a little creepy to have, you know, a heart-to-heart conversation with an AI chatbot about that. But such as, I mean, at least it sparked me enough to go, oh, okay, that's interesting to get that level of feedback from an AI. Okay, I'll at least entertain it. Other than that, I mean, otherwise it was just visual effects and otherwise, and we've seen visual effects in movies for years, and I didn't think that it was anything terribly new or groundbreaking.
All right, the big question: what was your favorite spot? Yeah.
I'm going to double down on the NFL. I think the NFL did a great job of telling the story of girls flag football and making a point that it really needs to be in all states. They told it, it had a great narrative. It had great visuals. I love the kind of 80s themed, you know, bully slash, you know, David Goliath type thing with a really talented girl playing, flag football, and you know, the guy being so out of date and misogynistic. I thought they did it well. It used both nostalgia and new concepts, and it told a story. The NFL has been telling pretty good stories the last few years, and 72 and Sunny has been a great partner with them, you know, making those ads.
And what was your favorite?
I think the one I just personally loved the most probably was the Coors one, because I just delight when I'm seeing a spot that isn't reliant on celebrity and still does all the job that it needs to. Like, I'm just sort of always delighted when I feel like that was just a pure creative idea. Like, it was just didn't take anything but a fun idea and a fun execution. And I think when I know the other context of the work around that, the extensions that came out of that, the Case of the Monday stuff, like, I just love it. I think it's really cool. And then I just wanted to say about the AI thing, like, it was very interesting. Like, the ChatGPT Super Bowl spot was made without, like that was still made by human physical creatives. They like made a point of talking about that in their press around it. They were like, yes, the concepting was assisted by ChatGPT, but the execution itself was made by like people. And I respect that on some level. Like, I respect that they like wanted to make that point. I think a thing that's like a really missed opportunity with that execution was like, be that as it may, very inhuman execution, very sterile execution. The anxieties around AI are very legitimate. I don't think anyone needs to be a Luddite or contemptuous of technology. I think there's lots of cause to see this stuff is really beneficial to us if executed and managed correctly. What I don't get excited about is a procedurally generated world. And so that creative execution didn't speak to me. Like, to take a bunch of human achievements and sort of pixelate them down into just dots, it just didn't evoke anything. Like, which is too bad, because I imagine for the folks who made it, they felt a lot about it. And I don't want to disrespect that. Like, it's hard to make a Super Bowl spot. It's hard to make a regular ad. But I just looked at it and went like, all right, yeah. This execution makes me feel like you think you're really important and that I don't feel very important to you. I would have saw a human face if the human face mattered. And it wasn't there. So that's the part that I was like, all right. Yeah. I tell you, if you're going to introduce yourself to the world, you ought to leave them with a feeling. And I just didn't feel anything about that work. And then, yeah. So I just want to share that quick.
Speaking of feelings, last question: who's going to be in next year's Super Bowl? Give me your predictions.
I would love to say the Niners, but they're not good enough. Both the Eagles and Chiefs are good enough to get back again. Eagles losing Kellen Moore is not great. but I think they have a chance. I think the Chiefs are just as strong as ever. Yes, they didn't have a good showing, but man, are they a good team? And you really can't count them out of anything. And I'd love to see Detroit, just because they're such long time losers. And I think the Bills have a chance. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, the best part of the Eagles isn't the coaching. That D-line doesn't need anybody to tell it what to do. So I think, you know, like that team, if they're intact going into next year, I mean, that Super Bowl, I mean, that's as good of a performance as I've seen out of the team in any football game in a long time. So I feel like they've got to be right back there. I think we'll see with KC. You got quarterback and coach, so like, you know, that can cover up for a lot. Unfortunately, it covered up for everything this season, I think, too. And so, like, you know, I don't know if they'll get back next year. I think the Lions are never going to get there. I'm a Vikings fan, and I love the Lions. I have no contempt for them, but I don't think they're ever going to get there. I think they lost all their coaching, and Dan Campbell motivates people, but I just think they won't string it together again. Yeah, I think the Bills, like, it's got to happen sometime. But as the blood brother to a team that has been there that many times, like the Vikings and Bills have been there and not won that many times, like, also maybe not, because sometimes when you're that team, nobody cosmically will ever allow you to be happy. So I don't know. We'll see.
Just not meant to be.
Yeah, that's – I take solace when it goes wrong. I'm like, this is how I think the universe – something – it needs to be like this for me. I think it would go wrong if a sports team I like won something. So, okay.
And that brings Season 2, Episode 7 to a close. Thanks for listening to This Modern Brand, a podcast by Barkley OKRP. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love to hear from you. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music, and be sure to subscribe. For more stories and insights on how to build brands people love, visit us at barkleyokrp.com.